Everybody listen up. Here we're shooting another scene of action frame. Now get to your position. Lighting?
Ready!
Camera?
Clear!
Figurants?
Clear!
Okay, 3, 2, 1, action!
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to today's action frame. I'm Chloe.
And I am Apollo. Glad to see you again. Now it's time for today's Info Express. Today we are going to introduce a few new films to you.
Yes, James Bond is coming back again. This time, Daniel Craig, who played the role James Bond, cooperates with the famous Italian star Monica Bellucci in the film Spectre. What's refreshing is that Ron Fiennes, who is famous for his excellent acting in Schindler's List, The English Patient, The Raider, and especially the role Lord Voldemort in Harry Potter that is quite popular among young people, will replace Judi Dench, Mrs. M, as Bond's new leader, Mallory.
At the same time, Spectre preserved the role of Q, played by Ben Whishaw in the last 007 film, Skyfall. Meanwhile, Andrew Scott, who is known as the valiant Jim Moriarty in the series Sherlock, will go up against Bond. James Bond in the new film. So, it seems that there is a brilliant cast of Spectre. There is no doubt that many fans in China are looking forward to watching it as soon as possible.
Well, as the 24th film of 007 series, Spectre is said to be the last Bond film of Daniel Craig. Therefore, who will be the next Bond? When will be the next 007 film be released? And what will the story tell? All the questions Spectre has brought about have caused heated discussion and attracted more people's attention.
As a classic character, it is no exaggeration to say James Bond has become one of the cultural symbols of Britain. The show in 2012 London Olympic Games, for instance, is a strong evidence.
Okay, so much for James Bond. Another classic character of British literature, Peter Pan, met audience in the cinemas last week, and the film called Pan, Every Legend Has a Beginning. Wolverine Hugh Jackman will star as an evil pirate, promising an extraordinary adventure for us all. So guys, how about having a wonderful trip to Neverland with the Never Grown Up?
Meanwhile, a movie adapted from the well-known literature masterpiece, The Little Prince, was released on October 16th, which has received a good reputation as well as high gross. Its cast is undoubtedly gorgeous. The Aviator was done by Jeff Bridges. Marion Cotillard gave her voice to the Prince Rose. Fox's voice is provided by James Franco. Mackenzie Foy, who is known for her role in Twilight series, played the little girl. And the girl's mother is played by Rachel McAdam. The theme of The Little Prince is similar to the film Pan. It tells a story about youth and dream. Just as the saying goes, people do not stop dreaming because they are old. They grow old because they stop dreaming.
I say I love that line. Wish we could all keep a pure heart of innocence and childishness. Okay, that's all for today's info.
Thank you for listening.
Goodbye.
Tired of a long day's work, watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening. Welcome to today's Star Report. This is Charles.
And this is Stephanie. This week we are going to talk about a classic movie, The English Patient.
The English Patient is a film about a relationship between a pretty woman, Catherine, and an English historian named Elmashi, who explored the North African desert during the World War II.
The film begins with a young nurse named Hannah caring for a patient whom she didn't know much about. The man was found after a plane crash, burned beyond recognition. Then he got rescued by a Bedouin tribe, but his wounds were too heavy that he almost lost the ability to talk properly. Judging from his accent, they decided to just call him the English patient. Hannah got along well with him and even read books for him.
Then came a man with bandaged hands called Caravaggio. He's an old friend of Hannah's father's and heard about her when he was recovering in a hospital miles away. So he decided to come to tell Hannah the news of her father's death in the war, and then mourned his old friend with Hannah. Before long, while Hannah was playing the piano, two soldiers came in and watched her performance. One of them, an Indian bomb diffuser named Kip, came to the villa and soon got on well with the English patient for shared interest in ordnance.
So, the three people in the villa set up a non-blood-related family. What's more, Kip was attracted by Hannah and they fell madly in love. Love played a critical role at that time owing to the lack of security. As time went by, they became more and more familiar. Our English patient finally confided his story. His real name is Elmer Shee. His job was to make observations, draw maps, and search for ancient oases in sand. In 1936, a young man from Oxford, Geoffrey Clifton, and his newly married wife Catherine joined their party. One night, after hearing Catherine reading a passage from his book of Herodotus, Elmer Shee realized he was in love with her.
Then they simply started a relationship. Nevertheless, in 1938, Catherine broke off their affair, telling Elmer Shee that Geoffrey would go mad if he ever found out. But apparently, Elmer Shee never wanted to end. He tried to punish her by being particularly mean and acting bizarre in front of the couple.
Love makes people blind. At some point, Geoffrey somehow found out about the affair. That's when the worst thing happened. World War II broke out, and Elmer Shee decided to close up their camp. Meanwhile, as Geoffrey was jealous to death, he attempted to kill all three of them in the desert by crashing his personal plane into Elmer Shee with Catherine aboard.
Fortunately, the plane missed Elmer Shee. Unfortunately, the crash killed Geoffrey, left Catherine severely injured in the heart of the desert. Elmer Shee placed Catherine in a nearby cave and promised to come back for her. He walked across the desert and reached the nearest town, only to find himself refused by English military for his foreign-sounding name. By trading confidential map with German army, Elmer Shee got himself a plane, which didn't help him rescue Catherine's life either.
This fairy tale just ended in the sands of North African desert. More tragically, the plane got attacked during their flight and caught fire. Elmer Shee parachuted down from the plane, but his body was all covered in flames.
Little by little, the English patient told this whole story. And for Kip, when he met Hannah, he met the humanity. But killing didn't end with the termination of the World War. Kip finally decided to go back and continue his unfinished mission.
At last, Kip took off on his motorcycle and left the villa forever. Hannah, though broken-hearted, left the villa soon after and got on with her own life.
Yet, the memories made in the war can hardly disappear. Elmer Shee asked Hannah for euthanasia, and at last, he was able to be together with Catherine forever.
The English patient is a tragic love story, but also an anthem for doomed lives. The fate of Elmer Shee represented a whole generation at that time who were traumatized both physically and mentally due to the war.
That's a great line for conclusion. Okay, that's all for today's storyboard. I'm Charles.
And I'm Daphne. Flashback is waiting for you.
Stay tuned.
Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, my dear listeners. My name is Hannah, the French-Canadian nurse from The English Patient. In the final days of World War II, I looked after a critically burned Englishman who revealed to me his life story. of how he fell in love with his soulmate Catherine, how the hate from her husband, and how he failed to save his lover from the doomed desert. He then passed away tranquilly and peacefully. This is the story of Count Lovelo de Ormachy, and this is how it ends.
Clip 1.
I thought you might like to paste them into a book.
Well, we take photographs. There's no need.
No, really, I'd like to have them.
Well, there's really no need. This is just a scrapbook. They are too good. I should be obliged. Thank you.
And that would be unconscionable, I suppose, wouldn't it? To feel any obligation. Yes, of course it would.
Clip 2.
Darling, it's me. Listen, I'm sorry something's come up.
Oh, no.
Now don't sulk. I'll be back tomorrow evening.
I'm going to sulk. I'm not going to hear you come get here.
Promise? That's good. Okay, my sausage. I love you.
I didn't know you were going anywhere.
I'm not. I'm going to surprise her. It's our anniversary. She's forgotten, of course. What's the symbol of your first anniversary? I should get something. Is it cotton or paper?
Your first anniversary? I thought you'd been married for donkey's years.
We've been friends for donkey's years. Best friends. She was always crying on my shoulder about somebody. I finally persuaded her to settle for my shoulder. Stroke of genius. Moose, are you there?
Yes?
First anniversary, is that cotton?
Is what cotton?
First wedding anniversary.
Your first anniversary is, paper.
Clip 3.
I'm going to be there when the band starts playing. Remember, we'll get there, honey. An invitation to the Slaughter's Ball. A very swell affair. All the neighbors will be there. I'll be down to get you in a taxi, honey.
Sweet is their own food. I told her, when 3 hours back, Michael. Don't go anywhere. I'll be back.
Just walked in from the desert, sir. Morning. Dear Golly, where have you come from then?
There's been an accident. I need a doctor. Come with me, and I need to borrow this car. I paid, of course, and I need morphine.
May I see your papers, sir?
What?
If I could just see some form of identification.
I'm sorry, I'm not making sense. Forgive me. I've been walking, and a woman is badly injured at Cape Kabir, the Cape of Swimmers. I'm a member of the Royal Geographical Society.
Right. Now, if I could just take your name.
Count Laszlo de Ormachy.
Ormachy? Would you mind spelling that for me?
Look, listen to me, will you?
What nationality would that be?
A woman is dying. My wife is dying. I have been walking for 3 days. I do not want to spare my name. I want you to give me this car.
I understand you're agitated. Perhaps you'd like to sit down. I can read you back to HQ.
No. No, don't. Don't read you anybody. Just give me the fucking car.
Clip 4.
My darling, I'm waiting for you. How long is the day in the dark? Or awake? The fire is gone now, and I'm horribly cold.
I really ought to drag myself outside so that it will be strong. I'm afraid I'll waste life. I'm painting my life in this world.
We die. We die rich with lovers and tribes. Tastes we have swallowed. Bodies we have entered. And swarm up like rivers.
There's where we can go. But the church is here. And all this mortar on the body. We are the real country. Not boundaries drawn on that. Known for powers of mine. And all your time of carrying out in the palace of wind. That's all I wanted.
The lamp's gone out, and I'm writing in the darkness.
Are you tired of the loneliest work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, my dear listeners. Welcome to Action English. This is Charles.
And this is Anne for you in today's show.
Since the English patient is made in Britain, I bet there's gonna be loads of British slang in it.
Yeah, you're right. British slangs are famous for its uniqueness. So let's just get to the topic and start the journey into those phrases.
让我们来听听第一段原声吧。
Are you planning to be the exception?
Me? I think you've got the wrong end of the stick, old boy. So, tell her that you. Hannah thinks you invented your name.
And you've forgotten yours.
卡拉瓦乔误以为艾玛叔喜欢 Hannah， 便问他：你想成为例外吗？艾玛叔便立即回了 You get the wrong end of the stick. 这句话的意思是你完全搞错了，完全误解了。我想汉娜与艾玛叔仅是一个聆听者，她一直念念不忘的仍是凯瑟琳。
这点我同意，毕竟曾经沧海难为水。 Get the wrong end of the stick， 字面意思来看是把手杖拿反了。或许对于讲求绅士礼节的英国人来说，拿反了手杖是难以容忍的错误吧。
从这个短语里的确可以对英国人的讲究风度窥见一斑。其实在生活中，当你说的话被别人误解时，你便可脱口 You get the wrong end of the stick， 配上高冷的伦敦腔，绝对霸气特别。
虽然会被认为有装腔之嫌，还是值得一试的嘛。好了，让我们来听下一段原声吧。
And a special thank you to Jeffrey and Catherine, without whose fundraising heroics we'd still be kicking our heels
interesting. 这段原声中有两个和动作有关的短语，第一个是 kick one's heels， 意为一筹莫展，无所事事。从字面来看，就是不耐烦地把脚踢来踢去，非常形象。如果没有了 Catherine 等人的帮助， Elmshu 的队伍的确会心有余而力不足，只能徒劳无奈地踢着脚。
的确如此。说到这个短语，我想到了另一个和它长得很像的 kick up one's heels， 意思为放松一下自己。虽然都是踢脚跟，但意思完全不一样，别记错喽。
这段原声中还出现了一个词 arm twisting， 指压力、强迫。可以想象一下，有人硬生生地将你的胳膊向后扳，这个短语表达的便是这种奈何不得的外力。这里有一个例句 She didn't want to go.But with a good deal of arm twisting, I finally persuaded her. 他不愿意去，但是我向他施加了很多压力，最后说服了他。
类似于这样由其指精神上的压力都可以用这个词。艾玛叔一行人为压力而干杯，像是在自嘲，不过他们当时一定是喜悦的。好了，这个用法就分享到这儿，我们来听听下一段原声。
Didn't know you were going anywhere.
No. I'm going to surprise her. It's our anniversary. She's forgotten, of course. What's the symbol of your first anniversary? I should get something. Is it cotton or paper?
First anniversary. But you two have been married for donkey's years.
For donkey's years, 意思是过了很久很久。或许那对夫妻总是很亲密，让人误以为是老夫老妻。不过为什么是 donkey's ears 而不是 dog's ears, cat's ears 呢？
这个短语其实是源于一个文字游戏，因为驴的耳朵很长，而 ears 耳朵和 years 年份的读音又很像，便有人突发奇想地造出了 donkey's ears 这个短语。
说到驴，英语中很多表达方式里都能看到它的身影，例如 donkey work 指单调乏味的工作，而 tug the hind leg of a donkey 则指唠叨不休。还有一个短语 donkey's breakfast， 大家能猜到这是指什么吗？
驴的早餐，这我猜大概和草有关吧。
没错， donkey's breakfast 就是指草编的东西，比如草垫、草帽等。这样的短语还有很多，以后可以慢慢和大家分享。现在让我们来听听最后一段原声吧。
It's a booby trap. It was running up the Union Jack, sir. Up off that statue and it just went off, sir.
Sergeant Hardy climbed up, sir, just for a lark, sir.
这又是一个含有动物的短语。Lark 意为云雀。印象中的云雀总是扑闪着翅膀飞来飞去，所谓欢呼雀跃。或许就是因为它如此欢脱，才被赋予了开玩笑、闹着玩的意思。Just for a lark 的意思即为只是闹着玩，开个玩笑。但虽然只是开个玩笑，哈代上校却因此付出了很大的代价。
这个短语在很多场合都能用到，比如有人因朋友的一句玩笑话或气话而郁郁寡欢时，你便能这么宽慰他， Don't take it personally, he said it just for a lark.
与 just for a lark 意思相似的还有很多其他的英文表达方式，除了大家都知道的 just for fun，还有例如 just for a bushy park， 只是为了好玩， just off the cuff， 只是随口一说，这些可都是非常好用的小短语哦，既能到位的表达意思，又不会落了俗套。
没错，那让我们复习一下今天学到的这些好玩又好用的短语吧。
get the wrong end of the stick， 完全弄错，完全误解了。
kick one's heels， 一筹莫展。
arm twisting， 压力强迫。
For donkey's ears， 过了很久很久。
Just for a lark， 只是开个玩笑。
以上就是今天介绍的全部短语了，你都记住了吗？
And don't forget to use them in daily conversation. If you learn it without using it, then you just get the wrong end of the stick. And by the time you try to search for a suitable phrase, you will find yourself kicking your heels aimlessly.
If you use a phrase frequently, it shall keep fresh for donkey's ears.I didn't say it just for luck, I mean it.
Alright, that's all for today's Action English. Next is Close Up.
Stay tuned.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time.This is Action Frames.
Another lovely evening with Action Frames. I'm Chloe.
Hi there, this is Elva Broadcasting. Actually, I would like to tell you audience that our team recently came across a blanket movie for a variety of reasons.Some are still illegal to download, with the others selected to be holiday special. And all of these eventually brought the English Patient to you, one of the best films ever. despite his great age, and I think...
Come on, too much leading. Don't make yourself a worthy grandmother.
Fine, Chloe, whenever you wish. In today's close-up, we're going to introduce Juliette Binoche, the supporting actress, who is strongly recommended by Chloe but considered not that famous by other members.
Must you emphasize that? The fact is that you did give in to her brilliance.
I believe that you have many stories to tell. However, I still hold the idea that it makes no sense to recommend someone we hardly heard.
It's okay if we give a complete introduction, and you shouldn't judge her simply in that way.
Just general standards.
I admit that she's not so famous as Jennifer Lawrence or Scarlett Johansson, even during the most glorious period of her career. But there's no denying that her beauty is unique. And do you know that how highly did the French media speak of her?
How?
They describe her as goddess, and they call her La Binoche.
Well, I have never tried to deny that. To be honest, I am certainly amazed by her performance in The English Patient. Though Hannah is not in the leading position, Julia still unfolded her complexity in character and revealed the inner world of women wounded by wars. And this performance helped her to get an Oscar.
She is the only actress who exactly combines the elegance with the mystery side of females. She deserved it.
As you mentioned, everyone can find something in her focused eyes. You know, she's good at explaining the burning love with gentle gestures and soft words.
That's indeed an art of acting, isn't it? Compared with passionate ones, it leaves a lingering potency and more profound meaning. And as I know, these qualities all have their roots in her experience. Her lonely childhood contributes to the sense of calm and mystery side in all of her characters.
And this is believed to be the reason why she tried out for the movie Blue.
Actually, at that time, she got two offers. One is Blue, you just mentioned. Another is Jurassic Park, directed by Steven Spielberg, which she refused.
What a pity.
No, anything but pity. She followed her instinct in art and soon proved it wise. In this film, she portrayed a desperate wife, showed her struggles by distinctive angles for life and exquisite acting, and moved the audience really hard.
Another touching love story, which as well arouses my curiosity for one question. What a fan like you think is the reason for her to stay unmarried, though performed love stories millions of times?
Well, Julia once stated that she actually believed in love and longed for marriage, but she takes no interest in the fate I do in wedding ceremony. And she also claimed that what we need is devotions in spiritual levels.
That's amazing.
She has far more to amaze you, but I only have the time to briefly refer to her talent in acting.
Yes, time flashes so fast. Otherwise, I would be glad if you tell us more.
Well, audience, this is the end of the close-up. But stay tuned for the program to come.
Goodbye.
Are you tired of a long day's work? Watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Tick tock, tick tock. When the time comes around, it's tick tock, tock. Good evening, my dear friends. I'm your host, Jake, and here are Judy and Monica.
Hello, fellas.
So, finally, we're doing The English Patient this time.
Yeah, we're going to review this classic movie casting Ralph Fiennes, Juliette Binoche, and Colin Firth. Poor charming still in with years past.
Oh, Colin Firth, he's so gentleman. I love him so much.
Me too, and you must be talking about how well he performed in the latest movie he took part in, Kingsman: The Secret Service.
Absolutely, as the saying goes, a man is not old as long as he is handsome.
Pretty sure you mean as long as he is seeking something.
So what? He's seeking something to me. All right, stop fighting, will you? If you two keep quarreling over this issue that doesn't matter, we won't have enough time for today's program. Besides, Ralph is the only handsome guy in the film, okay?
What?
Just kidding. So, Jake, which scene is it that strikes you most when you watch the movie?
I got to say the scene that strikes me most is when Ramsay managed to escape from the troops and fly back to the cave, only to find that Catherine is gone. I even cried when he holds her up and keeps whispering and sobbing.
Wow, I didn't know you were such a sensitive person. But seriously, that could be the most rank thing if there's a list. I couldn't agree more, but what surprises me most is that Omashi should have turned his back against the British just in order to save his girl. I just have to say, love wins.
You do know that this sentence has a different meaning, right?
Just to leave him be. However, as far as I can tell, this love is deeply anchored. I just feel so sad that Catherine is married before she met Omashi. That's so-called destiny, right? Sometimes you just can't be with your loved ones eventually.
Remember the nurse Hannah? She seems to get her true love with the Indian soldier Kit.
Oh, that poor girl, I remember. She is so unfortunate, because all the people she loved died, and she blamed it on herself. I don't think that is the right thing to do, I mean, for her. Yeah, the disaster is to blame anyway. Without the bombs and weapons, Hannah's boyfriend and her best workmate wouldn't have lost their lives. I hate wars. That is also the reason for the tragic ending of Omashi and Catherine.
Yeah, so sad.
Okay guys, now I've got one big question. Has anyone of you knows how did Geoffrey, Catherine's husband, know she was having an affair?
Well, that's a puzzle to me too.
I know about that. Actually, it's not shown explicitly, but there are subtle clues throughout the movie that he might be suspecting something. For example, when he tries to surprise her for their anniversary and sees her taking off from their apartment when he thought she was staying home. Then, he waits all night for her, but she doesn't return until morning. Pretty strong clue that something might be going on. He may also have noticed the changes in her behavior when she was around Ramsay, even if he didn't suspect him at first.
Cool. Now I'm even looking up to you a little. Come on, don't be ridiculous. He might just copy that from the internet.
How could you say that? Okay, I admit that I googled it just now.
See, now let me ask you. How do you feel about the scenes which contain some sexual, violent acting?
That seems just normal to me. Trust me, if you love somebody so deep, you may also be that crazy in love relationships. That is just a regular thing.
I'm afraid I don't think so. I think the violence are too much, which makes it a little limited for all the audience. Okay, you two got your own points.
I'm curious, is anybody interested in the plot of this movie? I think it is unfolded pretty well.
Yeah, it combines two different times and places, both of which are beautifully connected. Not only is the plot brilliantly written, the background music is also good.
Yeah, can you imagine the background music combined so harmoniously with the plot that you thought it's actually the real sound of the scene?
Totally interesting. I was deeply impressed by this kind of trick to shoot one film. Let's talk about the actor Ralph. Did you know that it is him that played Voldemort in the Harry Potter series?
Hell no! It was him? I couldn't recognize him for God's sake.
He was doing great, right? I love his acting skills. In my opinion, the greatest triumph of an actor is being totally unrecognizable, hiding behind the mask of the character he or she plays. Well, that's without a doubt. All right, chatting with you guys is quite relaxing, but time is up. So guys, that's all for today's TikTok talk. Hope you like it.
And next is Gramophone. I'm Jake, and here are Monica and Judy for you.
Goodbye!
Work, watch a movie, relax. What's fun in the dramatic world? Have a good time. This is Action Frames.
Good evening, my dearest audience.
It's really nice to meet you again on this amazing Saturday night. Now you're listening to the last segment for today's Action Frames, Gramophone. Today, we're going to introduce the raging soundtracks of The English Patient. The English Patient is a love movie set in the background of the Second World War, adapted from the eponym of the famous Canadian author Philip Michael Adachi. This film had embraced 12 Oscar awards in 1987, and one of them was Best Original Score. Also for the reason that the leading character Almasy is a Hungarian count, you can clearly feel the Hungarian style in some scenes of the film, which is actually one of the shining points that makes The English Patient so impressive and exotic. There's a very special piece of music in the album written by Sebastian Bach. The famous musician Julie Steinberg specially performed it for the nurse Hannah in the film. Now let's give it a listen. This piece of music appeared when the Canadian-French nurse Hannah first found an old piano in a broken country villa. She played this song but got interrupted by a mind-sweeping soldier Kip, who later became her lover. From Hannah's performance, we can feel clearly the solitary inside Hannah's soul. Same as any young, sweet girls at that age, Hannah had so many dreams and fantasies, not to mention her own love. But all of these were destroyed by the war, and what's left to accompany her was just a nameless, stateless patient without vitality. Though Aria was the only partita in the whole film, this song mixes just fine with the other music clips. Besides the baroque music with retro style mentioned above, another brilliant point of the soundtrack is the use of Hungarian ballad. At the beginning of the film, if with enough consciousness, you will notice a vacant and beautiful female solo. Szelelem, Szelelem, a Hungarian ballad performed by Marta and her band Muzikas. Marta is an actress well known as the Hungarian national treasure, and her incomparable frame was no need to say. As the director Anthony Minghella once said, when he was writing the script, he had particularly appreciated this typical song of Hungarian folk music revival and was moved by the special voice of lead singer Marta. He thought that this Hungarian-style song had played a key role in the soundtrack of The English Patient. After you finished watching, you may have a sensation that Szelelem, Szelelem had already indicated the destinies of Almasy and Catherine, a love story, sad but definitely no less sweet, just like flowers. They might wither and fall someday, but when they blossom, the scene will be the rest of all. As said in the lyrics, Szelelem, Szelelem, tall olives, while your blossoms in every treetop of the tree, I would do everything for you, I would dwell up the ocean for a pearl to send to you. Alright, I think that's all for today's Action Frames from Radio Suisse English. Wish you all a great weekend. See you next Saturday. Goodbye.
Cast for today. Producer.
Roy Sinek.
Anchor.
Lao Yiqing, Chloe.
Chen Boli, Charles.
Journalist.
Hong Junxian, Alva.
Zhang Danxi, Anne.
Wu Xiyuan, Apollo.
陈以慧 Daphne
葛嘉诚 Jake
牛一乐 Judy
陈紫薇 Monica
更多节目下载荔枝 FM 收听。